phone to pick with TikTok. I bought a scrub daddy because I've been watching all these TikTok videos about how awesome the scrub daddy is. I bought one. It's okay. It's
What's
not great.
A scrub daddy?
It's a sponge that has a smiley face on it. And it's just, it's okay. So I'm just letting you know right now.
It's a TikTok product. The product of TikTok is like a bad imitation of something.
If unless Scrub Daddy wants to sponsor us, then it's great. Then I love it.
I love the Scrub Daddy.
You love the Scrub?
I love the Scrub Daddy.
I love me a Scrub Daddy. Well, that's our message of our non-sponsor for the show.
You know what we should only do? We should do non-sponsors. Don't buy Scrub Daddies and don't buy Noom. Don't sign up for Noom because Noom will just charge you for random things. That's what happened to me is Noom just randomly charged me a bunch of times.
Oh my God.
That's like the opposite of what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to like.
Yeah.
So it seems like a ripoff.
It's a huge ripoff. So those are our non-sponsors. Please Great. Feel free to reach out to us if you want a non-sponsor. send a Venmo of $50 to @BloodyPodcast and we'll shout out your non-sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by our lovely patrons. And no one else. Thank you everybody for listening to Bloody Podcast. I am your host Maria Felix along with Lori Roggenkamp and our resident guest Cash Abdumalik.
Hello.
Or are you a co-host now? I can't even remember what we've officially called.
I think I'm still a resident guest.
All right, somebody let us know.
Yeah. I think he's like, we know where he stands, but he still wants the freedom to be able to go to see other podcasts, you know?
Oh. That's
funny. We know that he cares about us, but and that yeah. we're like his first love. Yeah. But like he's like, look, I'm a man who needs other podcasts to fulfill my needs.
Yeah, I have another podcast in another town that I've never told you guys about, and neither of you guys know about each other.
Yeah, he put a filter on it, but but he has many filters all over town.
That's true.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Much like our topic today, as we'll see.
Ooh. Nice.
Today we're talking about Carmen Montenegro, who was found by police rolling a trash can down a suburban street in Ontario, California. The contents of the trash can explain the whereabouts of her missing boyfriend, Samuel Wiggins. So Carmen Montenegro, who also goes by Carmen Montelongo, and Samuel Wiggins Jr., started dating sometime in 2009. She was in her early 50s, and he was 10 years her senior.
Oh, thank God.
Ready for her to say, like, 24?
No, I thought you were going to say he was 10 years old. I was going to be like, oh, okay. All right, we're starting out the gate.
Well, this is a late-in-life relationship.
Oh, okay.
50 and 60. Mm. It's not that late. But
yeah, but still.
No worries. Okay. No pedos here. At least. No pedos here. It's a pretty big one. Samuel was an army vet who rented a home in Diamond Bar, California.
Oh, okay.
Almost all the places that we'll mention today are about 40 minutes from each other.
Okay.
One way or really? Another,
as we'll see. Yeah. You'll see.
I lived in Diamond Bar.
Diamond Bar is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean,
it's a suburban place.
I passed through there. We passed through there on the way home.
Yes, we always pass places. Through there. Yeah, on the way home from other places. It's about 40 Snoop minutes Dogg. From us here.
Yeah.
I've seen Snoop Dogg a couple of times. I saw Snoop Dogg a couple of times at I think it was a Vons or a Ralph's down the street from where I lived in Diamond Bar.
Maybe so. His house is like a big mansion in Diamond Bar. It would make sense. People would leave him alone.
I think he lives in like Chino Hills or Chino or something.
Chino? So, Snoop Dogg can't live in Chino. That's like not allowed.
Why?
Because Chino residents voted. They were like, please don't allow Snoop Dogg to live in Chino.
Because wouldn't Snoop Dogg live in the LBC?
I don't know. I mean,
or like, that's what I'm saying. It still has to be either Los Angeles or Long Beach County.
I know, but that's what rappers and some successful people do. They move out of the hood when they make it.
Chino's still like the hood, though. Chino is still.
Yeah,
Chino is just the hood without the ocean.
Which is so much worse.
Yeah.
Well, also, it is a Los Angeles County, so maybe it's still within the
Los Chino's Angeles in County. Riverside County, I'm pretty sure.
We got a lake, fool.
Oh, maybe you think of Chino Hills then.
Is there Chino and Chino Hills are adjacent, aren't they?
I know that Chino.
Anyway, we could argue about this all day until we look it up, and we're going to keep going. And so,
neither one of us are going to look that up.
Samuel Wiggins Jr. lived in Diamond Bar, California. He rented a house there.
Okay.
He was chatty with his neighbors. His neighbor Sylvia Fonseca, said that he often talked to her about like house renovations he'd happen to be doing, or if like he was the kind of neighbor that just to be chatty, he would be like, I'm thinking about like putting a plant out here and da 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 da. And so she, you know, they have pleasant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Samuel had at least one adult son. He talked to his son and his daughter-in-law at least once a month, normally multiple times a month. And they lived in Houston.
Oh.
Hmm.
In 2009, Samuel introduced a neighbor of his to a woman named Carmen Montenegro and said it was his date, marking what we know as the approximate beginning of him and Carmen's relationship. Samuel was black and Carmen was Hispanic. Both are relatively short, under 5'8", with Carmen being slightly larger than Samuel.
Oh, interesting. So there's no, like, we don't know how they met then. They just, one time, he just shows up with her.
It was a
dating
app. I
don't think it was under the best circumstances.
So definitely a dating app.
I hope it could have been a date. It could have been a dating app. It probably was a dating app.
I'm looking at totally these two, normal. And I'm thinking Plenty of Fish.
Okay.
Or eHarmony was pretty popular.
Yeah.
In 2009.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look at them. Look at them.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the kind of couple where you look and you go, like, somebody is in it for the wrong reasons.
Samuel didn't have much, but what he had, he shared with Carmen. Carmen also had kids from previous relationships. We know that she had two adult sons and a daughter nearing college age. Samuel often gave Carmen what money he could, and she was no stranger to asking for it either.
Oh boy.
Some reports say that Carmen began stealing from Samuel almost immediately after they started dating. But since it was little things at first, Samuel ignored it. And then when he finally did confront her about it and they argued, he kind of just let it go after a while.
Hmm. He's like, hey, you see my pen?
No, I haven't seen your pen.
Did you steal my pen?
No, I did not steal your pen.
You stole my pen.
You know what? You can shove your pen right up your ass.
All right, I'm not going to make a big deal about this.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it went.
I'm not going to make a big deal about this. It's just a pen.
Let's get some ribs. He looks like he makes ribs.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Get in my fucking face.
So no ribs?
We don't know much else about Carmen, but I can assume a couple of things from what we learn about her. She was no stranger to drugs, and she liked to take advantage of older men.
Yeah, and judging by her picture, she was allergic to brushes. So that's also...
What was her last name again?
Montenegro or...
Mar-a-Lago?
Montelongo.
Yeah. I'm just really upset that she didn't go with the nickname Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, you just stole my fucking...
All right, you do it. Nope. It's probably funnier than mine.
Nope, I'm going to find something better.
Yeah.
You stole my CSI.
That's when you know it's not that funny, is when I say it first.
It was easy. It was super easy. I'm going to work for this one. All right.
In March 2011, 2 years after they began their relationship, Samuel was talking to his daughter-in-law, Michelle, on the phone about possibly visiting her and his son in May. Later that month, in March, he explained that he wasn't going. And the reason came straight from Carmen, who took the phone from Samuel and told Michelle that she was pissed that Samuel wouldn't leave her with some money to take care of herself, specifically $500, and would not let her drive his car while he was gone.
That's a Cadillac.
Samuel never let anyone drive his car.
It's a Cadillac.
Anyone. It's probably sure. A Cadillac.
It's definitely a Cadillac.
I could not find what car it was, but I was like, it's something nice. Something nice and old.
I mean, we're pretty sure about two things. Plenty of fish, and that's a Cadillac.
That's a Cadillac. Yeah, look, I don't want to stereotype, but I would bet my entire year's salary that it's a Cadillac.
All black men drive Cadillacs. I bought a Prius, and I went out the next day, and I was like, holy shit, it's a Cadillac.
I remember getting keys for your Toyota.
Yeah. The new Toyota Cadillac.
I don't know why, but this is giving me real, like, so my aunt was just telling me this story that she read that Al Pacino's, like, girlfriend broke up with him because he was so cheap.
Whoa!
He wouldn't pay for anything?
Yeah!
I guess she's, like, super young, and so she probably was like, yeah, I'm dating this old actor. He's probably going to lavish me with all these gifts and, like... Uh-huh. He got her, like, these really cheap gifts and stuff and didn't give her any money or anything. He's just like,
here's some popcorn.
How about a chip? One chip! And a wedge of cheese. It's horrible.
Poor Al Pacino.
Oh, he's doing great.
Yeah, he's fine. So Carmen hated this. She hated not being able to drive a car, and she hated that he was trying to leave her and not leave her with any money to go see his son. And so he decided not to go.
Aww.
Yeah, that was it. He's like, I'm just not going to make a big deal about it.
His kids are like, whatever, dude. more of the same.
Interestingly, a month later, in April, a neighbor of his, Araceli, noticed that Samuel seemed weak and frail. And when he spoke to her, his speech was often slurred.
That's not good. That's the beginning of the end. That's like in those made-for-TV movies when a woman coughs into a napkin and the napkin turns out to have blood in it. You're like, yeah. Well, you're going to be dead soon.
Yeah. That same month, Samuel's landlord came by. Samuel introduced him to Carmen and said that she would be moving in soon.
And Carmen had a list of demands.
New curtains. New floorboards.
I want a key to your apartment and his apartment. Samuel's apartment. I want a key to all apartments. No, that's not going to happen.
For some time before that, it sounds like Carmen was just hopping around to different places to stay, including the residence of an 85-year-old man named Jacques Lefebvre. In my opinion, it's likely Carmen had also been staying at Samuel's on and off for a while, too, before he told his landlord.
Oh,
because it's already been 2 years that they're together. Then on Easter, April 24th, 2011, Michelle, his daughter-in-law, tried to call Samuel. She didn't get an answer. She tried one more time that day, and then tried for the next several days with no response from him. She found it weird, but she did not take immediate action. I'm not saying it's her fault. I think that they knew Samuel's behavior much more than will ever be disclosed from a bunch of news articles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So around that same time, his neighbors, Sylvia and Araceli, noticed two things that seemed slightly out of place. Besides not having seen Samuel himself in that last week of April and into May, Sylvia noticed a van parked outside one day into which two men hauled a bunch of carpeting from Samuel's into.
Oh, okay.
She thought it was weird because she said that he would chat with her about stuff like that if he was doing renovations and stuff. So since she hadn't seen him and now they were moving this carpet out, she clocked it.
Yeah. Then
later in May, Araceli noticed two men loading large potted plants into a truck from his place. That was actually on May 8th, when Carmen's cousin in Bell Gardens, Eugenio Montelongo, was surprised to see Carmen and her sons arrive at his house after 9 p.m. That's a red flag. That's the only red flag you need. Somebody's coming to your house after 9. Like, hey, I'm here.
Like a surprise?
Yeah. Your cousin? Your cousin shows up after 9?
Ugh.
Like, mm-mm.
Would you open the door?
Yeah, because...
I wouldn't.
Yeah. We just struggle with the outside door the whole time.
I that's one of the reasons I want to get a Ring camera for our apartment, because I would love to never have to open my door, like, ever in my life. Just be like, if my cousin came and was like, hey, I'm here, I'd be like, I'm okay talking to you from here. You stay outside, I'll stay here.
I mean, that's fair. Well, they didn't have a Ring cam, and Carmen shows up, and she drops off two large potted plants.
Oh, my God.
And she asks Eugenio to keep them in his yard for a while, and then she'll come back in a little while and move them to Santa Barbara. I don't know why it was Santa Barbara. She doesn't live in Santa Barbara. Maybe there's another cousin in Santa Barbara. She could have pulled like the old thing. And this might be more of a Hispanic thing where she was like, I don't have room for these two plants. And then like maybe Eugenio had a bunch of plants in his yard. And she was like, will you take care of these two plants for me for a while or something? But
yeah,
it's after 9 o'clock. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It's such a weird. Yeah. I will say though that. This is all ringing. I was like, this rings true. And then I remember that my uncle's wife has shown up at our house at like 8 o'clock at night and been like, can you hold on to these boxes for us? My aunt was like,
no,
you just put them in the garage.
That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Still have no idea what are in those boxes.
Oh, you still have them?
No, she took them like a couple weeks later. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure. Like, I was like, call Rick right now to make sure he's still alive. Like, let's get this figured out. He was fine. But I was just like, oh, man, this is so weird.
It was all her like bingo winnings she was laundering so that Rick doesn't find out.
It probably was. It probably was like casino winnings or something like that.
Yeah.
Racetrack tickets that she was holding on to.
They also, Araceli and Sylvia, both noticed that Carmen had been driving Samuel's car.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Nobody ever drives Samuel's car. Even the neighbors knew that. He must have talked about it a lot.
Well, if anybody's driving my Cadillac, I'm dead.
Yeah. That should be the commercial.
Yeah.
It's also a bumper sticker that's on your Cadillac.
Today's show is brought to you by Cadillac. Drive hard.
Yeah, yeah. I also feel like Samuel might be a mumbler, you know, like maybe he doesn't want to get in fights, but he'll mumble. So he'll be like, ain't nobody going to drive my Cadillac but myself. Ain't nobody going to drive my, I drive my Cadillac. Nobody else drive. What are you saying, Samuel?
What are you saying? What are you fucking saying? What are you fucking saying about me?
Nothing. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you right now. Okay? I don't want to talk to you.
I'm changing Samuel's
voice. I can hear you.
I'm changing Samuel's voice. I'm not saying nothing. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I don't know about it. Ain't nobody going to drive my Cadillac by myself.
I have a question. Is that what happens with black men? Is that as they get older, their voices get higher?
No. Certain black people, their voices get higher, but not me. Not Samuel. This is the same voice I ever had. This is my deep voice. People say I sound like Darth Vader sometimes.
With white men, I feel like no matter what happens, their voice always gets more nasally.
That's true. So let's continue the story. Somebody's driving my Cadillac?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And what? She seems like she's probably really aggressive. Like,
she does it pretty
aggressive. Oh, yeah.
Really mean at the drop of a hat.
I would say she's like willing to like take the phone out of his hand and be like, hey, no, I'm not. He can't go because he won't give me $500.
I'm talking to him about my long distance.
You're what?
My long distance. Oh.
Yeah, it hurts. It's mean.
I'm going to have the rest of those ribs by myself.
I don't eat those ribs. Yeah. Don't you put those ribs down.
Those are my ribs.
I'm having half a rib.
No.
Corner rib.
I'll choke you.
Eighth of a rib.
Let me lick the sauce.
I mean that biscuit, but I'm not going to say anything.
She like throws the ribs off yeah. the table.
She's like, don't heat it up. But it's like a rock.
It's coagulated.
Part of me hopes that like he got something out of, like either like a great sex life or something out of the relationship. But nope. I have a feeling that probably was not much. Like, mm-hmm. I just hope that at some point he felt content at one time.
He's not, relationship. He's 10 years older, sure, but he's not like old. He's like in his 60s, right?
Yeah.
You know, so he must have gotten something out of it. She dates a lot of guys at the same time. So she's well versed in the art of like making a guy temporarily happy, and then her craziness comes along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my theory of any guy who puts up with a crazy chick is that crazy chick activates his prostate. You see a guy and there's like a crazy woman, I'm just like, yeah, that you're getting milked by that chick. Like, there's no reason why you wouldn't put up with that.
I love getting milked.
That's a very to me, I feel like that would be a very like serious thing of like, no, she's able to like, she knows the spots. Okay.
She knows the spots. She knows them well.
Moo.
Moo.
That's probably why his voice got so high. He probably was like, he talked a little like this, and then she tapped into it. He's like, huh?
ain't nobody gonna touch me in my asshole.
It's funny because, like, you know, he's with her, but he obviously doesn't trust her because he's like, I'd rather stay, but when I'm with my son, and she leave you alone. I'm like, how did that?
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. Damn.
Yeah, that's a weird dynamic, but I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, there are women that I can't tell you how many datelines I've watched where a woman has like gone out with her cousin or sister and been like, hey, if I go missing, Kevin has definitely killed me. And it's like, bitch, why are you still with him? Like, yeah. If you think that your husband is capable of murdering you, why are you still with him? So it's just like, yeah, I mean, there's just those relationships where you're just like, these people need to cut and run, but they just don't. They stay in it for whatever reason.
Well, then, yeah, there's a lot of reasons that people feel they need to stay in abusive relationships.
Yeah. It's the same thing I keep telling myself about Chipotle.
On May 19th, oh wait, sorry. On May 18th, Robert, his landlord, returned for that month's rent and was handed a check by Carmen. But since it had already been mentioned to him that she would be moving in, he didn't think anything of it. Then, the next day on May 19th, nearly a month after not hearing from her father-in-law, Michelle finally called the sheriff's department in L.A. and requested a welfare check.
Anybody else a little weirded that the daughter-in-law is doing all the work and not the sons?
It's super weird, but I mean, she's probably just more caring, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Probably also the sons are doing the heavy lifting with, like, you know, the body.
No. Carmen had two sons.
Oh.
And Samuel had one son.
Oh.
In Houston.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he only had one. I thought he had two sons and a daughter. Sorry.
So, to clarify for everybody, probably just you guys. Carmen has two sons and a daughter from a previous relationship. The two sons are adults. That's all we know. We don't know if she has more than that.
Okay.
And then Samuel has one son and his daughter, he keeps in communication with him. He lives over in Houston and he's married.
Little Stevie. Daughter and... I'm sorry.
What?
I said little Stevie. I'm sorry.
So the police do a welfare check and Carmen tells them that Sam wasn't home at the moment. Then she calls Michelle and she tells her that Samuel has run off with a drug dealer named Emmett. And that when they came back, her and Samuel were going to leave for a week anyway. So then she would call her then.
I don't know why, but that feels racist. For saying that. Like, she... hey, your father-in-law... who has never at any point really shared that he's possibly into drugs and is a retired army vet, has definitely run off with a drug dealer named Emmett.
Yeah. And then she called her back a couple of days later and she was like, yeah, your dad's totally addicted to drugs. I'm trying to get him to get help from the VA.
Oh.
Okay.
That's what she called and said, just to follow up.
Yeah.
Just to reaffirm.
Just in case you didn't know, it's all the drugs. I mean, he's addicted to poppers, stoppers, globbers.
Yeah, methamphetamine, hamamphetamines.
Yeah. Ludes.
Yeah.
Nudes.
Roots, dudes.
Chips, dips, snacks, chains, whips.
Kiwis.
It's just a 45-minute call of her naming things that he's addicted to. And it's just Michelle on the other line going, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Light bulbs.
Uh-huh.
Lamb chops.
Uh-huh.
British wigs.
Uh-huh.
Corn.
Uh-huh.
Corn, but with a K, like the band.
Which album?
The first two.
Okay.
Natty Light.
Oh.
Who's Gerdu?
Okay. I get it.
All right. I gotta go. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
Sylvia, Samuel's neighbor, also called Samuel after not seeing him for a month now, and left a message saying that if he didn't contact her, she was going to call the police. So then almost immediately, Carmen calls her back and tells her the same story about he ran off with somebody. She doesn't name Emmett this time, but she says that he ran off with somebody and that he had asked her to borrow money before he left. So Carmen's telling the neighbor, like, yeah, he borrowed some money from me before he left and just took off.
She probably, like, is, like, so bad. It's like, how much money did she borrow? $57,100. For sure. Okay. Is that the ballpark? Yeah.
Yeah. Carmen knew people were beginning to catch on to her and started trying to get rid of more evidence. She called her friend Ansesito Paredes.
Ansesito Paredes.
Hello, Ansesito.
Ansesito Paredes. And asked him if she would store a large box with carpet at his house. He said no. Good for Ansesito.
Absolutely.
Then Carmen started crying. So Ansesito did not cave.
Good.
But he got his friend David Chavez to store the box at his place instead.
Wow.
He roped his friend in.
Probably not his friend.
No.
It's probably some guy who, like, owes him money or something.
Exactly. He's like, Dave, you owe me $40, right? He's like, yeah, man, I'm really going to get it to you. He's like, don't worry about it. Keep this carpet at your house. He's like, oh, cool, man. No problem. Because you gotta know. Can I source the carpet at your house? Fuck no.
Ansesito avoided, like, a whole Pulp Fiction situation.
He did. Good for him.
But he kind of made one, too. I don't know. He wouldn't die in the movie.
No.
So Carmen made David promise not to look inside the box. And supposedly David did not. I don't believe David. You have the box. You look in the box. I don't believe Lori either. She knows what was in the box.
No, I did. Because, like, it was, like, had, like, that brown tape on it.
Oh.
And she was like, if it was clear tape, but I have clear tape, so I would have just retaped it. But I didn't have brown tape, so.
That's fair.
Good. I'm glad you guys believe that.
So that whole incident with the box was on May 22nd. An investigation was opened with Carmen as a person of interest in the missing persons of Samuel Wiggins. Police obtained copies of Samuel's bank records. They reflected that two transfers and withdrawals had been made on April 25th from his bank account. Surveillance video showed someone, I'm going to assume it was a man because they don't say it was Carmen, someone had used his debit card at a bank in Pomona, about 40 minutes from Diamond, wait, that's about 30 minutes from Diamond Bar. And then again in Diamond Bar. Each transaction that was made was for $300 or more. On May 25th, Carmen met with a friend of hers named Michael Hackham at a coffee shop, and he testified later on that she told him she was being harassed and followed and needed a place where she could buy untraceable phones, but the place also had to have no surveillance cameras. If such a store exists, would you, my friend, know where I could go?
Yeah. I also love, like, that, like, if somebody asked me that, I'd be like, what kind of shit do you think I'm into? Where do you think I would know that?
I was thinking that a guy named Michael Hackham wouldn't know.
Yeah. It sounds like another one of her boyfriends, honestly. Yeah.
He sounds like a guy who, like, only goes to stores because they have a lot of security cameras.
Yes, exactly.
On May 26th, a Detective Harris obtained a search warrant and accessed Samuel Wiggins' home in Diamond Bar. He found no signs of a struggle or that Wiggins had been any sort of drug user. But there was a large knife missing from the knife block in the kitchen. Just the one.
Ooh.
Mm.
And he also found blood splatter on a bedroom door. 3 days later, on May 29th, Matthew Bell, Montenegro's cousin who lives in Ontario, got a surprise visit from her and her two other men.
Oh my God. This woman needs to learn how to text her ahead or something.
Seriously.
No. Her cousins will always receive her.
Oh. This is the kind of person who knows that she's not wanted, so she just shows up everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she tells Matthew that she wanted him and the other people in the house to leave for an hour. And if they did, she would give them $100.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's nuts. Somebody shows up to your house, leave for like an hour.
That's some shady shit. Like, I'm sure that happens, you know, because a lot. I'm sure that happens a lot, but it's like, no. This is not the crowd I want to run in.
Yeah.
You can't have my house for an hour. I don't care what it's for. And also, the two men, we can safely assume are her sons. You know?
Yeah.
So.
I'd be seriously shocked if she found two other men to do her bidding that weren't related to her.
That's a very Pulp Fiction situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, his girlfriend, and his brother agree. And they leave. Now, mind you, this was $100 for Matthew. Not $100 each.
Oh, lame. That sucks.
Well, but let's be frank here. I don't think they were leaving because they wanted the $100. I think they were leaving because they didn't want to deal with the results from saying no to Carmen.
Well, you would be wrong, because after a short time, they returned because they realized that she didn't give them the $100.
Stupid idiots.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Did they get to the Taco Bell and then realize that they didn't have the money to fucking pay for the fucking burritos?
Yeah, probably.
Dimwits.
Oh my God. They probably went to Taco Bell and said, give me $100 worth of tacos.
Where's the money? Oh shit.
No, we didn't get the money.
Oh my God, we gotta go back.
I know people like this.
Yes.
God. You better fucking hold our order.
Idiots.
We're cutting the line. When we come back, we're cutting.
Oh yeah. I live 5 minutes away.
I'll be right back. They're all blaming each other. You know they're blaming each other in the car. Matt, you're so stupid. Fuck you, bro.
Wasn't my fault.
Yeah. I could be eating Taco Bell right now if your girlfriend wasn't such a dumb bitch.
Get the money.
Get the money. Just go inside. You go inside.
It's your house.
Fine. So they go back.
Oh, my God.
When they return, they see Carmen and the two men digging a hole in the backyard.
Oh, Jesus.
She panics. The guys panic, and the guys run away. The guys take off.
Oh my God! They abandoned the mother.
Yeah.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Cheese it.
She starts ranting, and she tells Matt and his group that she'll give them each $5,000 if they quote help her get rid of it. Help her get rid of him. So Matt, somehow still perplexed, goes out to the front on Carmen's order, and because Carmen's like, go get a trash can. So Matt's like, okay. Goes to the front, gets a trash can, brings it to the backyard. And
but
then
what about Taco Bell?
$5,000 could buy a lot of Taco Bell, yo.
Oh, okay.
Can even go to Del Taco.
Damn. All right, let's do it.
Carmen starts unearthing what they had just put into the ground and starts throwing it into the trash can. And it turns out to be a bunch of body parts. Matt vomits because he's so grossed out by what he's seeing. He's just seeing her casually toss all these body parts into the trash can.
Oh my god. Oh man.
Matt and his group freak out and they leave. I don't know if they left on foot or if they got in the car. I'm going to assume they got in the car. Matt gets the car. He calls his mom and then he calls his mom. And then I'm sure the mom was like, you got to call the police. And so Matt or the mom, who knows which one of the two, call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen is behind them, dragging the trash can and screaming for them to come back and help her.
Jesus.
This is in a suburban street in Ontario, California.
Oh my god, that's... It kind of reminds me, this kind of reminds me of like a low rent Succession a little bit, where it's like, calls the mom, and the mom's like, you fucking moron, call the police.
This is the reality of people, of the people who are an alpha dog. Like, the real yes. people, the real ancillary people who are an alpha dog are these people.
Right, right, right.
Like, the people who get drunk at noon on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
These guys. At that point, Officer Michael Gonzalez takes the call and he pulls up. He sees Carmen wheeling the trash can down the road, looking dirty and dazed. He stops her and immediately notices the foul smell coming from the trash can.
Mm.
Upon further examination, the police find a torso, two legs, and latex gloves and a syringe and a piece of zip tie in the trash can.
Oh my god.
Carmen was arrested on site and later charged with the murder of Samuel Wiggins. Later, her two sons were also arrested.
There you go.
That's how we know it was the two men that were with her.
Oh.
Police also obtained credit cards that belonged to Samuel from Carmen's new boyfriend, 85-year-old Carmen Marquez.
Oh, so they okay.
Same name.
So that his was name is Carmen as well?
Yeah, his name's Carmen as well.
What?
That was probably the icebreaker on the dating app.
We're the two Carmens. I bet you, what do you want to bet? She goes, you know what? This is going to be better than anything I've ever done. I'm just going to start dating men who are named after me, or named Carmen.
Yeah.
Detectives also collected the bloodstained carpet from Chavez's house.
David Chavez.
Then on June 1st, they picked up the potted plants from Eugenio's house.
Oh my god.
Which ended up containing two severed arms in one and a skull in the other. Autopsy results showed that Samuel Wiggins had been stabbed 24 times, 22 in the back, and twice in his lung.
Ugh.
Detectives had already determined that there was no struggle in the home and that he had been more weak than usual, according to witnesses. We know that Samuel was likely snuck up on, stabbed in the back, and was easily overpowered by Carmen, murdered, and died in his bedroom.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say that he was like poisoned or something.
It didn't have any results about poison because the body was too decomposed to tell.
Oh, that's a shame.
They didn't have a murder weapon, but they had enough to go to trial. Before the trial happens, her two sons must have cut some kind of deal, and they were dismissed. Their charges against them were dismissed.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
The first attempt at a trial was in 2014, and it was deemed a mistrial. But then they renewed the case and had a new trial in 2016. At trial, Carmen argued that she had never been in a romantic relationship with Samuel. That the last time she had seen him was in May 2011, when he supposedly raped her and then she left.
What? Ugh.
She says that night that she went to Jacques Lefebvre's house. In Riverside. Jacques lives in Riverside. That's where she was staying at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him about the incident. Remember, Jacques is 85 too.
Right.
Oh, man.
She says the next day she woke up and Jacques was gone. A few days later, she saw Jacques driving Wiggins' car. She went to Samuel's house with Jacques, and Jacques had already killed and dismembered Samuel, is what she said.
The 85-year-old?
The 85-year-old, right. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
She says she did not call the police because she didn't want Jacques to go to jail. Her current boyfriend, Carmen Marquez, said that he had actually been dating her for almost a year before all this started.
Jeez.
And that at one point, she had asked him to go to the house of the, quote, man that we killed. And I think that she meant not her and Marquez, but her and her sons.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so
my God.
He goes to the house, knowing that she just mentioned that they killed somebody. He goes to the house with her in Diamond Bar.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I ended up in the house in Diamond Bar. I moved a box, and it contained some papers, but I didn't think it was papers. And then I just left it at that.
Great.
Oh, my gosh.
Then he took it back to his house. And then somebody picked it up the next day. Jacques died before the trial, so he couldn't defend himself.
Yeah.
But a co-director of a center that served meals to the elderly testified that Jacques had limited upper body mobility and was extremely frail by June 2011 when he last saw him. So...
I also would have loved if there was a doctor that just had to go through all the swearing in and then sat down. It was just like, can you confirm that Jacques is 85 years old?
Yes, I can confirm that Jacques is 85 years old.
All right. No further questions. It's just like, come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Like, really? This woman couldn't have picked any other person to be the scapegoat. She had to pick the 85-year-old.
She only seems to know her two sons and then a bunch of 80-something-year-olds. Because Carmen is also 85, her current boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus.
And Samuel was the youngest she seemed to have gotten in a while. Carmen also said that she had been unearthing the body and putting it in the trash can because she wanted to show the police because they had been asking. And now that Jack was dead, she could show them.
Oh, Jesus. God.
She also admitted that she spent the money in Samuel's account because she knew that that's what Samuel would have wanted for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you just follow her story, that is a crock of shit. Because there's no way that a man who just raped you is like, just on the off chance if I end up dead, spend all my money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, that's payback for the rape.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Ugh.
He clearly did not.
Of course
touch
not.
Her. No.
No. Also, I mean, look, I will say that there are definite cases where, you know, a woman has been beaten or something's happened and she's had to attack. But that's a clear, I feel like those are like, in my opinion, I could be wrong. Those are like, you know that that's happening. You can tell from the crime scene. You can tell from whatever. I find it hard to believe when women or anybody goes, like they hide it or they go into hiding or they bury the body or they, you know, it takes police forever to find the body. And then magically they come out with the, oh, well, he sexually assaulted me or
yeah.
I was sexually assaulted. It's like, I mean, look, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, maybe he wasn't nice to her. Maybe he was abusive to her, but it just, I don't like it when it's like he has no way of defending himself. So, you know, it's just her word. Nobody else's.
I get what you're saying. You're playing, you know, you're saying you're giving her the benefit of the doubt. But it's pretty clear in this one who the mean one was.
Yeah. And you have no, exactly. you have no corroborating evidence with neighbors or anything, hearing anything or, you know, doing anything. It's like, it's like, come on.
You know? Have the opposite evidence. You have stuff like her being so controlling that she won't let him leave to like go see his son because she's like, I'm going to steal your car if you go.
Yeah.
You can't stop me.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, okay, you know what? Let's go to dinner.
Yeah.
Or finish the leftover ribs in the fridge.
Those are my ribs.
I hope he gets to have ribs one last time.
Me too.
Poor Samuel. The jury deliberated for 6 hours and then they found Carmen guilty of first degree murder. The judge sentenced her to 26 years to life in prison. While en route to prison, she fell in love on the bus with a 46-year-old neo-Nazi male who had killed several people, including killing one person with a hammer in Crestline, California.
Oh, okay.
That's fun. Isn't that fun? According to a hearing for Dennis Yoakam, that's his name, the two were engaged in 2014.
Oh, so he fell in love with her too. I thought this was going to be like a, he was like, I'm just not that into you kind of thing.
No. They met on the bus that was transporting them to the prison. They had never met before and they will never see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in love and they're engaged.
Oh, okay. I wonder what conversation they had.
That made, but if you look,
started it.
If you look this guy up, he has Hitler tattooed on his neck. Like, not the word Hitler, the face.
Hitler. He has Hitler's face.
On his neck.
Oh my God.
That's Nazi love. Nazi.
She will be eligible for parole in 2029. She is serving her time at the Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla, California. And that is the story of trash person Carmen Montenegro. May Samuel rest in peace.
Seriously.
Part of me hopes that she gets out and then her and that neo-Nazi hook up and then she kills him too.
Yeah.
I feel like he probably got life too because he killed a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't get a Hitler tattoo on your... on your throat if you're just, you know, if you want to just work at the school's first credit union.
Yeah, you've got other aspirations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.